From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Joint heirs with Christ. The boundless realms of His Father's universe are Christ's by prescriptive right. As heir of all things, He is the sole proprietor of the vast creation of God, and He has admitted us to claim the whole as ours by virtue of that deed of joint heirship which the Lord hath ratified with His chosen people. The golden streets of paradise, the pearly gates, the river of life, the transcendent bliss, and the unutterable glory are, by our blessed Lord, made over to us for our everlasting possession. All that He has, He shares with His people. The crown royal He has placed upon the head of His church, appointing her a kingdom, and calling her sons a royal priesthood, a generation of priests and kings. He uncrowned Himself, that we might have a coronation of glory. He would not sit upon His own throne until He had procured a place upon it for all who overcome by His blood. Crown the head, and the whole body shares the honor. Behold here the reward of every Christian conqueror: Christ's throne, crown, scepter, palace, treasure, robes, heritage are yours. Far superior to the jealousy, selfishness, and greed which admit of no participation of their advantages, Christ deems His happiness completed by His people sharing it. The glory which Thou gavest me have I given them. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The smiles of His Father are all the sweeter to Him because His people share them. The honors of His kingdom are more pleasing, because His people appear with Him in glory. More valuable to Him are His conquests, since they have taught His people to overcome. He delights in His throne, because on it there is a place for them. He rejoices in His royal robes, since over them His skirts are spread. He delights the more in His joy, because He calls them to enter into it.
Joy, you reign above in radiant splendor and beauty.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, How may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series of studies in 1 Thessalonians, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Pastoral Prayer for an Infant Church. The text is verses 9 through 13 of chapter 3. Paul's heart was greatly burdened for the new believers in Thessalonica, and he sent Timothy to minister to them. When Timothy returned with the report that the fledgling Christians were going on with God, Paul was overjoyed. In the final verses of the chapter, he uttered a prayer for their continued progress in mutual love and personal holiness, a prayer with much application to the present-day church. Now to continue this message, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
There is legitimate cause for concern. There are times where we ought to feel concern for souls, for those that we care about, for those that are under our care. But at the same time, when we have reason to rejoice, we ought to rejoice. And that is what we're underlining here. As Paul kind of leads into prayer, it is joy that is the warmth of that prayer. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? He hears the report and he rejoices. Now, we should look for opportunities for this, because as I don't need to tell you, you don't need to look for misery. It will find you. It will find you every day in its various forms, and for good reason. As the Shorter Catechism tells us in its answer, the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. And that's all around us. An estate of sin and misery. So you don't have to look for misery. You don't have to try and find it. It will find you. It's all around you. All sorts of causes for misery and sorrow in this life. But, with the gospel, there are reasons for genuine, real, meaningful joy. I'm not sure the world understands joy at all. I really don't. There are aspects that they enter into by means of them being made in the image of God. But there's no real, meaningful foundation for joy without the gospel. It is the understanding that my fundamental need has been met in Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning and you do not grasp that the greatest need you have is not the list of things you want to attain, and not a list of desires, not a bucket list of various things you want to experience in life. The greatest need you have is the forgiveness of your sins. And for those that are here this morning that have experienced that, they grasp the fact, fundamentally, my greatest need has been met. And it's from that foundation that they can experience and express genuine joy. They know it. They know before a holy God that they have been rightly related to Him through the person and work of Jesus Christ. They know that on the cross, everything was met where Christ declares it is finished. And it was finished on their behalf. And they grasp within their souls that I have no greater need than this. And that need has been met. Praise the Lord. When you have that, there's always reason for joy. Now, as I say, we still live in this world that is cursed by the fall. The experience of sin and misery is still very much evident in the world. And so that at times takes our concern and causes us legitimate reason for worry. But the gospel brings joy. And this is what Paul is essentially rejoicing in, because it's the success of the gospel, isn't it? And why is he rejoicing? What thanks can we render to God again for you? It's like the psalm we were singing, Psalm 116. The verse is verse 12, where the psalmist says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What can I return to him for all the benefits that have been experienced by me in his mercy? And Paul is saying something very similar. What thanks can we render to God for you? In other words, for what has been done in your life, for what is being accomplished there in your lives, for all the joy wherewith we joy, for your sakes before God, night and day, and so on. So this joy is really expressive here as he's leading into prayer. And there are a couple of things we learn from this. First of all, we want to find joy in others, because that's essentially what Paul is doing. He is rejoicing in others. Not himself. It's not himself. He's rejoicing in them. He sees them making progress. He sees them going on with God. He hears the report that they're continuing on in the faith, and he's rejoicing in them. Now, that's a principle that we need to imbibe. That is the ability and the privilege, indeed, of rejoicing in the lives of others. Turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians 2, and you'll see Paul exhibit the same attitude there toward this church. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there are a number of verses here that express joy. I'm not going to read through the entire portion, but I'll just select the verses and highlight them for you. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, and you can see his love for them in verse 3. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. You see the way his whole life is knit up into the church? Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And he's rejoicing in what is going on in the church. Verse 7, not by talking about Titus here, and rejoicing in his, what he's hearing about the church, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Verse 9, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. This is because of his first letter that he wrote to them. And he rejoices because it had the intended effect. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. And then verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So now he's rejoicing because of their impact upon Titus. Titus was refreshed, he was encouraged, and Paul's rejoicing in this. All of his joy here relates to, is connected with, is tied into the church and what's going on with others. When he writes to those at Philippi, Philippians 4:1, he says something very similar to what he says to those at Thessalonica. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. My joy. You bring joy. John writes in 2 John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Now, beloved, the whole point here in giving these verses to you is to see that we are to find joy in others. It gives us permission. Indeed, it exhorts us to find joy in others, to look at their lives and see their progress, see how they're going on, and rejoice. You say, well, what's the point? Why are you underlining that? Because I feel at times we are so selfish, if I can use that word, I think it's appropriate, we are so bound up in ourselves that we can only find joy when what we want for ourselves is being fulfilled. Our desires are being met. Our longings are coming to pass. That's the old nature rising up right there, a sense of entitlement. And we struggle at times to genuinely rejoice in what God is doing in the lives of other people. Or, to put it another way, to genuinely rejoice in what God may be doing in another church, through another work that's not related to us, through another person. Think of it in terms, you're a businessman, someone else is a businessman within the Christian community, they're doing better than you, and you struggle to rejoice because you're so desirous that it would be you. But that's the wrong spirit. You should rejoice in their success. Thank the Lord and pray that it will not go to their heads and be their ruination. Rejoicing in others. Why should we rejoice in others? Well, there are many reasons. But fundamentally, it is because this is Christ-like. I love Luke chapter 15, like many of you. It's in Luke 15 that we have the parable, really a threefold parable, where the Lord reveals his love and mercy toward sinners. And in the first one, the first kind of aspect of that that he reveals, where he deals with the 99 sheep that were there and the one that's lost, and he goes out and he finds that lost sheep. I love it. I love the imagery. I love it because it reflects that not just the love the Lord has for his people and his willingness to set aside everything else to go after those that are perishing, but the response when he finds it. It's not out of a sense of mere duty. It's not just, I had a job to do, I went and did it, gripped my teeth, got the job done, came home, and then flunked down on the couch and kind of, you know, that's it, my work's done. No, that's not the image we have at all. He gathers, he finds that lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders rejoicing, so when he actually finds the sheep, he's rejoicing there. No one else is around, it's just him and this lost sheep. He's rejoicing then, and he brings it home, and he calls everyone else, rejoice with me! Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The Lord delights. He delights in the accomplishment of his work and in the benefit of salvation as is experienced by each one of his people. He is not detached from it. He's not just kind of cut off and, as I said the word earlier, stoic about it. He is rejoicing. He expresses it and he encourages everyone else to enter into that joy. Rejoice with me in the success of the gospel, in the furtherance of the glory of my name and my work. Do you find joy in other people? Do you? Do you have eyes to see the hand of God in the lives of others, to favor them and delight in it? It's an awful thing to be enslaved by self-centeredness. But not only do we want to find joy in others, we want to cause joy in others. On the flip side, we want to cause joy in others. From the first perspective, it is Paul. He is finding joy in the church. He is seeing it, and he's rejoicing. But on the other side, the church are causing joy, aren't they? They are causing joy to fill the heart of the apostle. Now, that's not their main motivation. They're not enduring persecution because they're afraid of what Paul might think. I mean, they are living in light of the presence of the Lord. They're thinking of him. That's their main goal, their main motivation. They love the Lord who died for them. But there is this cause. They become a cause for joy in others. And this is another example for us that we may learn from. We may learn from those that Paul is addressing. Now, when we look at ourselves, there's not much cause for joy. I'm assuming you feel like I feel about myself. There's not many reasons for joy. And yet what should encourage our hearts? Again, if we just scrape away everything else and get to the heart of the gospel, that I realize that the one that matters, the Lord himself, finds a sense of joy in me because of what Christ has done. At the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember the words in Matthew 3, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father looked at the Son, and he had every reason to rejoice in every aspect of his life. He found in him that which was well-pleasing to him. Now this is the divine eye, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. I mean, there's no tolerance at all, really, when he's looking at it judicially. But he looks and he declares from heaven upon his Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some of the modern translations say, with whom I am well pleased. And to a degree that is true, but it misses something of the sense of union that is in the way the Authorized Version puts it. In whom I am well pleased. Not just with whom. I'm not just pleased with him. I'm pleased in him. The very essence of his being, I find pleasure there. And beloved, that's wonderful when you draw out the application that is worked out in the epistles of Paul, particularly the doctrine of the believer's union with Christ. And Paul found so much upon that. Everything is really essentially kind of flows out of the fact that the people of God are in union with Jesus Christ. And the reason we will stand before him on judgment day and be acquitted of all of our sins is because we are in him. And we are found by imputation of his work to us. We are well pleasing in the sight of God. This is the amazing aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is imputed to those who believe, that they receive by faith alone the merit of the Son of God. It's not just the washing away of sin. It's not just the dealing with our unrighteousness. It is a sense of a completeness, that as the Son pleases the Father, so we are found well-pleasing in the sight of the Father by our union with Him. The Son was a cause for joy to the Father. And as He is our example, and we are to walk even so as He walked, so we are to be a cause of joy. A cause of joy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.